broadcasting from Dublin, Ireland. You're listening to Ireland's premier mixed martial arts show.
This is Mike Dolce,
Ian McCall, James Little Evil Pulver,
the Crippler Chris Levin,
Frank the Legend Shamrock.
Lover, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.
This is Sean Sheehan, and you're listening to Talking Brawls.
How are you, boys?
Good.
All the way from Vegas. Hello. SevereMMA.com here.
Hello.
What's the crack?
Andrew McGann, how are you?
Not too bad, Niall. How are you?
Not too bad.
You're looking absolutely marvellous today.
Thank you very much, my good pal. Peter Carroll, how are you, my friend? All the way in Hooters with Andrew McGann. In a different room, of course.
All the worse for seeing you, Niall. All the worse for seeing you, buddy.
You love it, mate.
He's actually right next to me. Can you not see the walls are exactly the same?
Exactly the same.
He's Andrew.
If I reach, I'll be able to put my hand in his window, I think.
Ah!
Oh, sorry, Pete.
Sean Sheehan, how are you, my friend, all the way down the south of Ireland, in Ireland,
hello,
like me?
I'd like to welcome everyone to the best part of Ireland. Outside of Dublin, so
you're lucky you said that outside of Dublin, or it would have been a bit of trouble, Peter. There,
no,
would, I
would have sent anywhere outside of Dublin is the best part of Ireland.
The best part of Ireland.
Yeah. I would have sent my butler up to you.
You see him in the sailing club yesterday, lads.
Yeah, I was staying in the sailing club. I went for a walk in the pier. It was a nice day, and I saw that Annalise was there. All the crowd were gathering for there, so I watched on for 2 seconds. I didn't actually watch the sailing at all. But
was it that day at Niall?
What date? Which one?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, that's the answer I wanted.
That's it. All right, lads, loads of stuff going on tonight. Crazy weighing. Not weighing, what am I talking about? Press conference with Conor and Nate. Just your thoughts, Conor obviously showed up 30 minutes late.
15?
Was it only 15?
From the start of the press conference, it was only 15. So.
Only 15, yeah. Kicked off 15. He got there about 9:30 Irish time, 4:30, I think, local time there. Just your thoughts on what went down. I'll start with you, Andrew. Andrew, was that a promotional ploy from the UFC? or was it something that naturally happened? What are your thoughts?
I think with the Diaz brothers arriving late, seeing their entourage come in, they had to walk across in front of everybody to go to their seating area. Then Nate went backstage to come out a few minutes later. Connor was late at the time. Dana just came out. He fairly set the tone pretty quickly. He's like, he got a little bit snappy, I think, with John Morgan. He's like, it doesn't matter. Yeah. The press conference is on now, whether Connor gets here or not, blah, blah, blah. Somebody then asked, was Connor here? He's like, he's in the building. He's going to be coming now. But similar to how the Diaz entourage come in, all of the McGregor guys come in through the main door of the David Copperfield Theatre down to the bottom. I think Petey was saying to me afterwards, Nick had arrived around the same time as well as the McGregor entourage, and Diaz looked to be texting on his phone while he was on the stage. But I couldn't actually see him because he was blocked by the dais. So Petey might be able to tell us more.
I have no more points to make. That's all I had.
He's fine.
But what was the feeling like, lads? Was there an intense feeling?
Yeah.
Picture, will you put us in a place of what it was like to be there?
So right, we were kind of sitting to the left of the stage, and that's where Diaz walked around. So as he's walking around the hall, he got a massive pop when he left. I mean, the ground went crazy. This is before I ain't a fight. They reacted really well. He got a massive pop from just leaving. So then he's coming around in front of us, and he starts throwing up his fingers. And then you just see the rest of the crew following really quickly behind him, and Nick was in the front. So Nate got to the exit first. And when he got there, I couldn't see if he actually went behind, if he actually left the building. But Nick and the rest of the crew made their way up, and that's when all the bottles and stuff started happening, because one, the security crew were all in the middle. The Diaz kind of crew were all getting held back. And then we see Dylan Danis and Ido Portal at the top of the queue.
Go on, Ido.
For the McGregor stuff. And then, meanwhile, McGregor's on the stage getting kind of held back by someone else. And then I didn't see who was throwing balls. I just saw loads of shit getting thrown through the air, and failed miserably on taking pictures of the situation, even though I was in a great situation. I wish I was as good as this Dave and them situations, man. Fuck.
Dave was in the middle of it. That's because Petey was at the side of the Diaz brothers. We were at the side of the McGregor camp. So we were kind of in between when it was all happening. Dave had already taken Sparks. He was up behind Nate taking pictures. I was in between both camps. And then just, I think, I'm not too sure. A lot of people, when we did a live stream earlier on, a lot of people were saying that the Diaz camp threw the first bottle. I had my back to the McGregor camp. Yeah, I have no idea.
It actually did throw the first bottle. Sean, it looked like Nate threw the first bottle we saw there at the water bottle.
Nate threw the first bottle. And you, even McGregor did, I think he did an interview with Lance Pogmire directly after it. And he said that Nate threw the first bottle. And he said, if you throw a bottle, I'm throwing a can back at you, which... Okay, it's a bit, I suppose in those kind of rules of engagement, maybe it's fair enough or whatever. But yeah, it was just an insane scene. Really, it was funny actually. Someone reminded me of myself and Andrew were talking about in the podcast that something like this kind of had to happen. You know, for it was a bit quiet and you know it was a bit stale and you know something like this was going to happen for that reason. Like and for you know, the way like everyone followed Nate out afterwards, it looked like they had kind of planned it. Not that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you.
Beforehand, like they're, oh, we're going to move, we're going to go out, we're going to leave midway through the press conference. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, oh, if McGregor turns up late, we're walking out of this motherfucker. And it looked like that because Petey was in there, Nick and our Andrew stole from Petey, that Nick was texting Nate. And it kind of all happened after that. And Nate kind of called him out and told him to come away. So, yeah, you know, it was big. And as I said on Twitter, this is just going to make the Saturday night so much bigger. I would predict 1.3 million. You can put that up by another 500,000 at least, I think.
And McGregor being late helped the fucking thing. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah. He's giving out about him like 2 minutes before he gets there. You could tell he was so irritated when he was going, no, he's definitely defending the featherweight title next time. No more. No more fun. No, he's bold. He's a very bold boy. And then he comes in 5 minutes. It was literally 5 minutes between his arse hitting that chair and that press conference ending, I think. Like, you know what I mean?
And it was less. It was four even. I was editing the video and I was just like, geez, this is a surprisingly short clip. I was like, Connor, I think Ariel asked Connor a question and then maybe one other person got a question into Connor. And that was what sparked it off, sparked the reaction maybe. But it was fantastic.
The questions that's going to be asked in the next few days, was it staged? Was it? Because if you look at the timeline, it looks very fishy the way things, you know, it was put into place. As Connor shows up late, as per usual, then Nate gets up, walks off. Apparently, as you said there, Nick was coming in to the arena the same time as Connor.
All I know is every editor that I've talked to since then keeps asking me was this fixed? Was it kind of predetermined? I didn't think it was in the situation. It was very tense. I didn't think it was put on a single bit while it was there. But listening to you now and listening to the editors, the way they've kind of taken it in from watching online, it seems a lot of people think it's staged.
Yeah, but a lot of people do think that. You know, it looked very WWE. Let's be honest about it. It looked that way. And when you're saying stage now, okay, maybe it was staged by the Diaz brothers. They knew it was going to happen. But I don't think McGregor was in it. You know, I don't think people throw cans of Monster across the room with something to stage.
Well, the UFC are going to promote a fight in any which way necessary, especially in the United States.
They're not going to do that.
Especially in the United States. They'll push the boundaries they have before.
They don't say throw some fucking cans so we get this fight pulled by the commission. No way.
I'm sure Monster are loving that. A few of their cans flying up on the stage. You know what I mean?
I want to see the meme. Someone needs to replace the Monster can in Connor's hand with like a javelin or something like that. It's the Olympics, for fuck's sake. But get on it.
Another interesting point for us, especially over here, and I don't think a lot of people understand, we're constantly defending the sport in situations like this. It's going to be a pain in the ass now tomorrow in the Irish papers, on the radio, I'm sure.
Get Tom McGurk. Just by
the mirror. We have a great report there, not bollocks.
What's his name?
Straight in, no kissing.
But no, that's what's going to happen. We're constantly trying to defend the sport. We had the World Media Day, Peter. You wrote a great piece in Sevier a couple of years ago about that. It's just a pain in the arse. It really is a pain in the arse. It's not what we want to see, you know, really, you know, guys exchanging, you know, bottles and cans. It just doesn't put the right message, especially here when they're trying to accept the sport and all that's going on here in the country.
We're doing exactly what we say we don't want people to do now. We're going to have a fucking stupid debate about the sport. And that's all the mainstream audiences ever hear. We go on the radio and it's like, the only time they talk about MMA, apart from a couple of shows, is, should this sport be banned? Is this blah? And then Andrew has to go on and absolutely set fire to the studio to get them to shut up. You know what I mean? We need McGann in Vegas. We're not sending them back to do this one.
Mm. The big thing about this is, as well, like, at the end of the day, this is prize fighting and this is entertainment. Like, people are giving out to me, I was giving out about Michael Conlon yesterday. You know, there's a big difference between being someone who's representing your country and getting paid by the sports, you know, Sport Ireland to go out and represent your country, than being a prize fighter who's fighting for money.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is getting more pay-per-view buys. MMA is, you know, MMA is a different beast. MMA and boxing are very different beasts from anything else. Like,
tell Dave Fogarty to say hello there and stop whispering. Yeah.
Go on, bring
him
in.
McGann.
Dave, the lads want you to come over and say hello here.
Come on, Dave.
I was just trying to show him something on Facebook on the sly there, you know.
Ask him for a prediction for his fight.
What's the prediction for your fight? Bama. Bama
prediction
26.
For a fight in Bama, Dave.
Sorry?
Give us a prediction for your fight in Bama.
Second round, rear naked choke. No hooks,
I have a question.
No,
I have a question for Dave. When are you going to put up the greatest picture ever taken of Nate Diaz? When are you going to put it up?
It's up. It's up.
Savage.
Check it out.
You liked it.
Did I?
Yeah, I think you liked it on Twitter.
I haven't even seen it.
Oh, it's on Twitter.
They have them salads, BC.
BC's handler's running his social media accounts again, is it?
Elaine!
Niles Butler is over there working for Beatsy for the week.
This is preposterous. This is preposterous.
Yeah, here, take a first-hand account of the man who was having bottles thrown at him.
One day, tell us.
Yeah, well, it was definitely Nate who threw the first bottle. And like to respond to... He's Snapchat story. Nick Diaz, the Snapchat story. That girl never got hit with a bottle. I was beside her the whole time. Okay. I'm calling shenanigans on that one. Dave.
There you have it.
If you look on his Snapchat story saying that that she got hit by a bottle thrown by Conor McGregor, shenanigans.
Look at this. Look at this. Break.
Strong words.
The photo.
What a turn of events. You're breaking news for
He's
one.
Not just a photographer and a fighter. He's breaking fucking mad world exclusives as well. Brilliant stuff.
Breaking hearts, breaking arms. You can fucking break everything, that lad.
All right, another one, lads, for you. Is this the boost and sort of...
Shut up,
McGann. Very much, man.
Little bit. Okay, just talk away, Andrew. We're doing a show here. Don't worry. It's fine. No problem at all. Is this the little bit of edge Conor McGregor has needed going into this fight? We saw how animated he got. We saw the 2-3 cans go up, whatever it was, to Nate Diaz, should I say. We talked about it, myself and yourself, Peter, with Garrett last week on a show. That Conor, you know, when he was cutting weight, obviously didn't have to cut weight the last time, hasn't had to cut weight this time.
Hurry up, Jesus.
There's been a little bit of edge missing from Conor's persona. This is obviously perfect way to go into the fight. On Saturday night.
Yes, it is. No, it's everything that they want. Like, before the event, I was talking to Sean Alshay, and he was like, "Is there as little buzz in Ireland as there is over here for this?" And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nobody really cares." And I think that's exactly the kick in the arse that the card needed. Everybody said it really. I think everybody, and I suppose that's why people think it could have been pre-planned or whatever.
Olympics on as well here. Obviously, the Olympics is probably overshadowing a little bit.
Because we're doing so fucking well, aren't we?
Yeah. Dundalk got mugged as well tonight, Andrew McGann. Never a penalty
so
against
I heard,
Legia Warsaw.
So I heard, never
Are they
a penalty.
Playing Blanchardstown?
Here, lads, how do you think it'll affect McGregor's psyche? Like, he did lose a little bit, like, and he's the one that always goes into that.
It's better.
Do you think so?
Better. Yeah, I think he's way better when he's intense and he's pissed off. That's what I thought a big thing was missing there. A lot of people said it. The weigh-in the last time, like, he's smiling away, looks happy days, eating two breakfast, blah, blah, blah. This could be the right amount of intensity for him to, you know, the weigh-in's going to be electric now after that, I'd say. The next time they face off, it's going to be something else.
It very is team versus team now. Hopefully we don't see more of those scenes. Obviously, we see them before with Khabib Nurmagomedov.
I think you're going to see it again. The open workouts are tomorrow. I don't know if the guys are stacked one after the other, Nate and Connor. I'll have to check the PR schedule. But if they're not, if they are, it's probably going to be changed. We're not going to see. Are you just like making hand gestures at each other?
No, I was PT myself.
That's okay. Either way, I just imagine like tomorrow with these open workouts, you're going to have all of McGregor's camp there, like 20 plus guys. You're going to have 20 plus Diaz guys there. Even something maybe could go off in the back, like maybe we won't see it, but it's going to, as long as they cross paths, something else will happen.
Carl Pendred's already on a plane.
I heard he's running on a beach somewhere down in Florida. Is that not right? What is that?
Graham's going to hit someone flat with a boom mic at some stage.
He's moved to Blanchard, Colin. He's realised that the South Side is not the way forward. He's moved to Blanchard Sound.
Lads, let's talk about the fight itself. We might as well while we're here for 5 minutes. No, we don't talk about the fight? All right, we'll just talk about everything building up to it and not talk about the fight itself. We've given our picks, myself and Petey.
Who'd you pick?
Last night. We've gone
round,
with Connor.
Round three, Connor.
I've gone round four, Connor.
He's going to leg kiss the fucking legs off.
And the word we used was economy, I think, a lot, Peter, for Connor. Andrew,
I was just talking about being broke, sorry.
What are your thoughts on that? You know, does Connor really need to be a lot more sensible in the way he uses his cardio in this fight and the way he throws his shots in this fight? Is it about picking apart Nate Diaz, wearing him down in the early rounds? That was to Andrew, but anyway, it's.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
I'll go and then Pete can talk. I see your point about maybe regulating his cardio, but if he's done all the work in between that he's saying that he has, and we've seen all the footage of the cycling and the cardio sessions and on the rower, then maybe he's looking at the point of view of fighting the same way, but knowing that he will be physically able to keep going at a higher output this time around. So same style, just be a little bit more prepared physically for it.
Sean?
I think Nate Diaz will win. I think if it was at 155, I'd pick McGregor, because I just think the weight's too much, and I think he's going to need a more prolonged game to beat Diaz. He's not, you know, it's going to be very tough to beat him over two rounds or over one round even. And as we saw, as I mentioned on the podcast, you know, look at Yair Rodriguez the last day. Okay, he still won the fight, but his movement quelled an awful lot, you know, going into round two, three, and four. The way McGregor wins this fight is with that movement. He needs to stay out of Diaz's range, kick that leg, kick the body, open up the head, and hit that thin. You know, it could end well for him. He could knock him out early. But, you know, if he is to win, I think it's going to need a prolonged game. And I'm not sure with 20 extra pounds on him, you know, he's not a natural featherweight or welterweight. We all know that. And he has never proven that he can do it. Now, maybe he can do it. Maybe he can, but we don't know. And I can't pick on something we don't know. We know Nate Diaz can do it. We know he can keep going. You know, he's more, obviously, he's a lightweight. But I think he nearly cuts as much weight to get the lightweight as McGregor does to get the featherweight.
Do you think Nate might start this a little bit differently and maybe push the pace early on and make this fight almost dirty for Conor?
He won't be able to push the pace against McGregor. McGregor's too good at cutting down the cage. But he's just going to bide his time. He's going to do what he can early against McGregor. He's going to land those shots. You know, it'll take an awful lot less shots to hurt to knock out McGregor than it will for McGregor to hurt to knock out Diaz, I think, personally. No, McGregor can land that big shot and knock him out. That can definitely happen. But if this is a prolonged fight over two, three, four rounds, you know, I think it's a very tough fight for McGregor still. You know, it's a 50-50 fight, I think. I think McGregor could finish him if he stays to that game plan of kicking the leg, kicking the body very hard over two or three rounds. He can do it.
Peter talked about,
but I don't know if he can. I think the last can I wear him out, knock him out.
Yeah, I'm bringing in this. Stop interrupting me or I'll fucking cut you off. You mentioned it a couple of days ago that, you know, you thought Nate was a lot more hurt in the first fight at the end of that first round and a few more shots and he could have been finished. Elaborate on what you said.
Well, I didn't. Owen Roddy said that. I just asked him. But I definitely think he was hurt on definitely two occasions in that fight. Were they situations where he could have been finished? I don't know. Owen Roddy does think that they were. But I think if it goes beyond the third round, it's Nate Diaz's fight. If Conor doesn't get it done in three, I don't know why I'm feeling it's going to be three. I know that he won't load up on his hand like he did the last time, but that doesn't necessarily mean he won't get tired. His body is an explosive body. He's very muscular, very top heavy, and that suits his style for one or two rounds. But outside of that, it doesn't really help him. Diaz's style, his body type, is a lot better for going five rounds. So I'm saying McGregor in the third round, but if it goes beyond that, Diaz will win it.
People are expecting Conor McGregor to do a kind of a Carlos Condit type game against Nick Diaz. That's not the type of fighter Conor McGregor is. As you said there, Pete, he's an explosive fighter. He's an Anthony Johnson, John Lineker type of fighter. Now, he can't change his whole game and throw it out the window and fight a different game to beat Nate Diaz. He needs to change up his game and do different things to what he did in the first round to find better ways of beating Nate Diaz if he's going to do it. And maybe he can, maybe he can't do it. But if he throws out the game out the window altogether, I don't think he's any chance of doing it. Like, I think he needs, you know, stick with what brought you to the dance. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Andrew, you know, Conor needs to keep this fight off the deck. Fair point.
No, something that I didn't really buy into after the last fight. I put a lot of emphasis on jiu-jitsu in two ways. You're doing jiu-jitsu with someone when you're grappling with them, and you're doing jiu-jitsu with someone when you've just been rocked and you don't really know where you are. The main exchanges that people are critiquing from that last fight are Conor getting mounted, giving up his back and getting submitted. But Conor was completely out of the fight, out of breath, and had been hit very badly up until that point. So compared to the earlier stage in the first round, when Conor ended up giving the mount, he was really close to actually passing Nate's guard that second time. When Nate sat back for the guillotine himself and Conor was trying to go around to the left-hand side, Nate's trailing foot is what stopped him and made Conor think, okay, now I have to do that, the bailout, the one that he did against Mendez. So when he was fresh and he was active in the first and he was able to hit the X guard sweep and pass Nate's guard as well in the first round, like, Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu was shown to be pretty high level at that stage. But because he got hurt and because he got submitted, people instantly discredited it. And I don't think give him the props maybe that he should have got if he had went on to win that fight. Maybe if Conor had won that fight, people would be like, oh, and did you see what he did on the ground to him? Mm. But opposed to that, it's like, oh, but he got his back taken and choked out. I think it was pretty disrespectful to his jiu-jitsu game as a whole. He's a solid brown belt, and it can only have improved now with the specific sort of training that they've been doing. I think Dylan Danis was dead right when he said Diaz is a straight jiu-jitsu guy, or came from that. He's a striker. He's a jiu-jitsu guy that learned how to strike. Dylan Danis is a jiu-jitsu guy, pure, and will roll with the same concepts and ideologies of Nate Diaz. So that's my thoughts.
Excellent stuff.
So, yeah, no, it won't actually be that bad. I don't think Conor will be too worried about it if it goes to the ground, as long as he knows he's fresh. You know, but then it is something that I'd also really like to see, because Diaz can turn it on, and Diaz has one of the best styles of jiu-jitsu for mixed martial arts, I think, in the UFC.
Just anything prolonged on the ground, you know, Diaz will obviously be a big favorite. Like, no matter how good McGregor's game is, Diaz is definitely, you know, he's a high level. He's, you know, even with other high level black belts, you'd expect, you know, if Diaz had a dominant position, you would expect Diaz to get the finish or to dominate. So, like, I don't think that's not discrediting McGregor's ground game. I think if he gets in a bad position, he could get submitted by Diaz, or he'll get dominated by him there. So, I'd want to stay out of there, I think.
Yeah, well, Conor, I don't think, wants to go there. We've never seen him really, you know, force that sort of issue unless he's been forced into it, obviously, against Chad Mendes. He was putting his ass against Max Holloway. But, you know, he's going to play to his strengths, obviously, Sean, and want to keep the fight standing. But yeah. I want to ask his lads, right? We look at the last fight, and it wasn't the Conor McGregor we've seen in the past. You know, his footwork looked sloppy. There was a, you know, he overthrew the shots, I think, was another thing, which he got very, very tired. Obviously, the extra weight on top of him didn't help as well. You know, we're going to see a vast, vast improvement from that performance. Vast, vast improvement.
Yeah, well, for me, they're...
But could we take that in consideration, that was a poor performance from Conor? Yeah. You know, look at his footwork. It was sloppy. There was nothing really... it was sort of just everything was sort of, you know, it was thrown and it looked muddled. It looked like he just wanted to knock the head off Nate Diaz in the first fight.
Yeah, I thought my breakdown that I'll try with you. But, like, I thought both of them looked kind of that way. Like, Nate Diaz took it on 11 days notice. McGregor kind of fought in maybe with his ego a little bit more. And I think he said that himself more. I think this fight will be optimal McGregor against optimal Diaz. The best of what both of them can do. And I think it'll be a different bit of a fight. Yeah. Sorry, PT. I got across you.
Forget what I was going to say, to be honest.
All right. But it wasn't the fight, the Conor McGregor we saw against the likes of Dustin Poirier, Dennis Seaver.
But he doesn't have the range to carry it off that style against Diaz. You know, he doesn't have the imposing size advantage where a guy is afraid to get hit with that left hand. Mm. You know, the difference between Diaz was he was sitting there and taking the left hand and moving with it. Whereas other fighters are afraid to actually get near Conor because of how devastating the left hand is in that division. So that changes things. And that completely changes the way Conor has been fighting for since he came under the... Before he even fought in the UFC, he's always had guys who don't want to come inside and get hit with that left hand. This is the first time a guy eventually just kind of said, right, let's go. and he started laughing on his face. Like, I'm sure that was mentally completely, it's probably destroyed Conor to see that, you know what I mean? This is a guy who has a big ego. We know that much about him. And to be kind of laughed at in an arena like that, I'm sure that's massively, massively, yeah. massively horrible thing to happen to you, you know what I mean?
Complacency was the word maybe from the last fight, needed the kick in the ass, and maybe that loss to reinvigorate what he wants and what he needs. I think even Owen said it, maybe the training, the last time there wasn't a proper schedule on the training or anything like that. It was
He shouldn't have never fought. This should never have happened. This is ridiculous. It's good fun, but it's absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
That's the honesty. Where was anyone to say, like, don't take this fight?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense. Why did he go up to welterweight? And he's very brave for doing that. He's very brave for doing this again. But doesn't make any sense.
I agree. I've said it the whole time. 55 would have been ideal for this fight this weekend. Obviously not happening. Conor wanted to get it back at 170. Let's see what happens. Sean, let's get your fight pick for Saturday night.
My fight pick is on severemed.com. Go over there and fucking read it. But no, my
side submission.
Diaz via submission and fourth or fifth.
Petey.
Conor 3. PKO.
Andrew McGann.
I think it's actually going to go the full distance. Conor by decision. Split decision. Ooh! Split decision / draw. That's what I'm going for. Just said, like, you'll need the trilogy. You'll need the trilogy after this fight. That's my prediction. It's going to be like...
if it's one and a draw...
Go on.
He needs to lose. He needs to lose, though, right? Diaz needs to lose for there to be any point of a trilogy for you, because this already makes no sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Agree.
So true.
So my little theory on it, anyway. I have a little theory. We'll talk about that anyway. I think fourth round Conor McGregor. I think 1, 2, 3 wear him down. Early fourth round.
Conor McGregor.
I didn't pick him.
Sean didn't pick him.
We paid Sean good money not to pick Conor.
The team, Sean, we like it.
No, you call it how you see it. You know, if I saw Nate winning the fight, I'd pick Nate. I don't think Nate's winning the fight. I don't think Nate walks out of there and Saturday with a victory. I don't.
I know that Sean has been back and forth with that the whole time, and I have been as well. It's a
50-50. Yeah, it's a 50-50 for me. I just like it. The endurance and durability are the two things that I think are the biggest things in the fight. That's why I'm picking Diaz.
The one thing that comes into my head and people pretend like, oh, no, this is nothing. The reason why everyone thought Conor was going to beat him the first time is because of how confident he was.
Yeah.
His nonchalance at the going up this two divisions, fighting a guy like Nate. And that's what's doing it for me again. I'm like, why would he do this? Why would you do this if you weren't 100% confident that you could do it? Especially after you've lost. You know, why? It just makes no sense. Like, the whole thing for me just doesn't make sense. And he would definitely... I can't imagine him taking this rematch if he wasn't fully confident that he can do it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I agree. It's going to be featherweight. Well, hopefully after what Dana said today, you know, he has to defend the featherweight title next.
That's going
to
help the window now.
Good luck with that.
That's opening up a whole can of worms. We won't get there. Okay, where can the guys get you, lads? Obviously on Fight Week. I know you're both there doing a lot of stuff in Vegas. Obviously on severemma.com, you'll find all this
in Hooters
stuff. You'll find Andrew's work on Severe. I'm expecting some good interviews.
What's
lined up? Oh, for fuck's sake, McGann, get with it. Get with the program.
I'm just about to post my video of the presser from my angle with all the little scrap, just because I've been talking to you. It's been processed now for about 20 minutes, so I've been trying to hang this call up. But aside from that, it's the Ultimate Media Day tomorrow.
Brilliant.
Myself and Dave will be there. I think the open workouts are tomorrow as well, or they may be Thursday.
Okay. PT.
PT will be everywhere. He's a whore. He just sells himself to everyone.
Yeah, that's it. He is literally
whore. Or else stay boy me. Stop getting upset. Don't hate the game.
All right,
Don't hate the player. Hate the game. That's all.
Okay, you can catch
PT's in the balcony suite. You can
PT, do you want me to go through your outlets, or are you going to bother?
Yeah, I forget them every time.
Okay, there's so many of them. Just look up all the shittest MMA outlets and you'll find PT's work. I'm joking.
Oh, you're so peanut butter and jealous that I'm the greatest of all time. It's fucking hilarious.
Oh, God bless him. Oh, wait till he gets back to Dublin. There's lots of dishes. There's lots of dishes downstairs for you to clean.
Probably feel like, you know, if the Irish national team actually got any gold medals here, that's what it's going to be like when I return to Blanche. The streets will be lined.
Apparently your man isn't fighting in the semi-final as well, the guy that beat Conlon. Apparently he's injured or something like that, I saw there today. So that's a double kick
poor,
in the balls.
Poor chap.
Yeah, poor chap. All right, guys, thanks for listening in.
I never fucking said where I was, Sean, to follow me, for fuck's sake.
Okay, Hey, Sean, where can they find, where can they find you?
He didn't tell me what, anything to do with me. He said, oh, yeah, a load of bollocks.
Because I told you.
Sacrifice 45 fucking minutes of my day for this shit.
If you didn't shut up talking.
If you bug Sheehan
and
now,
listen,
I swear to God.
If you didn't shut up talking and listen, you might actually be able to get something in. You fucking motor mate.
Fucking 1 hour to get this up and running.
You're like a fucking canary, literally. Like a canary. Sean, go ahead.
You can follow me at Sean Sheehan BA on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram at Sean Sheehan BA. I'm on Periscope at Sean Sheehan. I'm at Facebook, facebook.com/SeanSheehanMMA. I'm on Snapchat at Sean Sheehan BA.
Okay, enough. I'm going to cut you off now if you don't fucking stop.
Sheehan BA.
Listen, hey, enough.
Sean, what's your right of the
again?
Ten?
What are you on Vine again?
Vine, Sean Sheehan BA. Verified on Vine.
At Niall McGrath 4 on Twitter.
Periscope.
Sean wasn't done, Niall. Shut up.
Boo Niall.
Everywhere else.
The Veer MMA pod on Twitter. Also run by the brilliant Sean Sheehan.
Ireland's best MMA podcast.
I want to get you,
my
Sean,
arse.
On the
we all know
Ireland
that's lies.
You know the way a guest person does it every week? You need to run it for the next McGregor fight week.
Totally agree. I'd be brilliant.
We don't break bones on talking brawls. We break exclusives.
Boo, talking brawls, boo.
Fuck you, you bollocks. I can't even give him a bit of support here. Fucking hell. All right, guys. Enjoy the fight on Saturday night. Thanks for listening. Good luck.
Are you watching down the yacht club or what are you doing?
I actually don't have anywhere to watch yet because I can't get Sky in here in time. It's a fucking disaster.
Can't get Sky. You can probably get Sky to move the gaff the amount of money you have. Jesus.
I mean, the money I have. You working for every outlet under the fucking sun. All those cheapo fucking outlets.
Lads. Can I just say one last thing before I go?
Yeah.
Kaboom.
He's gone. Hung up on us. Very nice. All right, lads.
From shot.
Peter Carroll, Andrew McGann, Sean Sheehan. Good luck and good night.
Chris Buffer, your voice of the UFC Octagon. And now, we are live at Talking Brawls.